Siyagodola man, this aircon is racist.
I've never ever been a spy.
Can the VBS bank loot?
The problem is that Pinky.
I'll never subject myself to whiteness.
I'm listening.
Can you have consistency, Honorable Chair?
Corruption was an Olympic sport. They will always win gold.
This is not a shape.
Sergeant at arms, can you please come
on the
in?
Point of order.
Hello and welcome to this week's edition of Sunday Times Politics Weekly with me, Amil Amro. Guys, thank you so much for joining us. I'm joined in the studio this week by my colleagues at the Sunday Times Politics Desk, Apiwe de Klerk, Zimasa Matiwana, and Zingisa Mvuvu. Guys, how are you doing? It's been a short week at least, right?
Yeah, and it's very...
You guys had a good break?
Deadline.
That's the biggest problem with working at a weekly newspaper, isn't it?
We must make even this quick while on deadline.
So let's get straight into it then. Let's start off with something a bit more lighthearted than we're normally used to. Prince Harry, the Duke of Sussex, and his wife Meghan Markle are here in South Africa, and it seems to be causing such a big buzz around the country. From what I've seen, some people are buzzing about it. Other people are like, ah. Apu is highly annoyed by it. No. I don't really care, to be honest.
Wait, you said the 12th, they are with their son, Chief.
What's the son's name?
His
Archie.
Name is Archie, yeah.
Okay, and their son.
What's his closer name, Gonja?
Ntsika.
Ntsika, yeah.
So, guys, there's been a lot of hype around their visit to South Africa. I knew that they were in Cape Town, I think, recently, and they're moving all around the country. Lots of people following them, news cameras from all around the world in their faces. And the big question is, yo, for me, I don't care very much that they're here, guys. It doesn't really affect my life, to be honest, whether they're here or not. What's your feelings around it, guys? Because it's been dominating social media the entire week, and it's been a big thing for lots of people in the country. And I understand there's a lot of hype around them. There was a lot of excitement when their baby was born. What's this infatuation all about? I don't understand it.
But I mean, are you saying it was a big thing for South Africans?
For some people.
For us in the media.
For some people. But it was big for us in the media, right?
Yeah, because I think it was big for us in the media only, but the rest of us.
Yeah.
Yeah, well. Ish.
Well. Yeah. Hey, Chief, this thing is stupid, man. But you see, the problem with this thing of royalty and all these things, people who have a birthright to become, leaders in some way, they are anointed. I really don't give a hoot about such people. Them coming here, it doesn't make me lose sleep at night. It's not like tomorrow I'm going to be earning twice what I'm earning because they are here. In fact, they've brought us cold. It's cold in South Africa. No, seriously. I think the sooner they go back, we're going to get back to the normal spring weather. But anyway, I mean, on a serious note, this whole royal nonsense, I'm not a fan of those things, especially one that is not ours. Yeah. We have problems with ours. We complain every year when this Zulu Royal Zulutini that side is getting increases in budgets, because we don't find a role of what exactly do these people do.
Yeah.
You know? So if we reject our own, the only problem that I have, with this whole thing, we are very steadfast in rejecting these ones. There's a lot of them in this country, Zulu one, Xhosa one, Venda one, everywhere. All the indigenous groups in South Africa have got royals, and we reject them because we don't feel like there's a need for such in this day and age. But when these ones from the other side of the equator, I decide everyone must jump up and down. Chief, it's a TV, every TV channel. The other fellow was asked, who are the royals? They said, it's Beyonce, Chief. You know?
But that's probably the best answer.
To show that also this thing is being forced down people's throats. Why do you expect that people must know? Why must I know when these people are in the country? I mean, really, what's so special? They are just another tourist, man. They must go to this tourist attraction. I must not be involved in those things. So, really, for me, as I said, it's a stupid thing that doesn't make sense. I don't understand people who jump up and down. Even when their child was born, I was like, okay, what's so special? It's just another child. So, what's the issue? So, in a sense, for me, it's a stupid thing. It's a gimmick. And to agree with a quote from Helen Zille that Zimas was reading earlier on, it's a big distraction. We have serious issues that we ought to be focusing on than these two fellows who are, I'm told, they're here in Southern Africa for 10 days. Seriously, the sooner they leave, the sooner we go back to real issues.
A lot of people really are infatuated with the royal family, and they follow their everything that comes out of the royal household. You know, it's a big thing for them. It's very important, and they love the royal family for some reasons that I don't understand. We should probably get someone in here who has that sort of connection with the royal family.
Look, I don't think people our age have that connection with the royal family. I know our mothers, they idolized Princess Diana, for example.
Yeah.
They still watch the weddings, you know, they still talk about her wedding that happened a long time ago. So I think we are not very much interested. But me, I respect royalty.
Mm.
Yes, explain.
They are custodians for culture.
Yeah.
They play a very important role in society in terms of upholding and protecting our cultures and our traditions. I don't think they should be living free on our tax money, for example. I think they should go to work like everyone else. But these two, this particular couple, I like them.
My goodness.
They are very progressive. They are very progressive. Their foundation, the issues that they are passionate about are issues that affect ordinary people across the world. They care about climate change. They care about the murder of women and children. They care about education, you know. Things like that. They are not coming here and saying, hey, we are your former colonizers. We are your masters. All of you bow down to us. They come, they are at our level when they are here. They talk to us like we are their equals. They go to Enyanga, to the major capital of South Africa. They raise issues there. They have a voice. They are not just, you know, I like them. I like the lady even more.
My goodness.
I think it's a good thing where somebody uses their status and their holding in society to sort of make a positive change and a positive difference.
No. I mean, what positive change are these people making? Wait to get.
Chief,
I need to address this thing before I forget my point. Of Zimaza, and I mean, I believe this whole, for me, it's patronizing the so-called good contribution that they are making, because most of the problems that we have, especially in Africa today, it is because of their ancestors and forefathers, and actually the current, you know, people of the other side. You know, they've got our gold, that side. Did they bring any piece of gold here to keep for free? No.
Zigiso's busy harnessing his Indian, in a PLF
conference. So we are in these problems because of them. Queen Elizabeth, that side, the entire palace is full of our gold, which was taken for free. They didn't bring a piece of it, you know. So all those issues, these issues of climate change and all these issues, anyone who wants to be relevant will jump into. I mean, if these people can build schools in every township here in South Africa, then I will start taking them serious. Not these small issues here and there, a foundation here that does small work here and there. We will shout about climate change that was damaged by Britain and America anyway. So, you know.
I will never hold Prince Harry, who was born in the 80s, responsible for colonialism.
No, they are not responsible, but I'm saying they have
I don't look at him and see my oppressor.
I don't see my oppressor too, but I am saying they have to make the positive contribution that you are making. Actually, they are contributing less. They ought to contribute more.
Okay, I agree. I agree with you on that one.
Clearly, my view doesn't matter here.
Of course, it matters. Always matters.
No. You see, I'm with Mvumvu when it comes to royalty. You know, I seriously have problems that just because by accident of nature you are born, and therefore we must give you resources and respect, because apparently you are royalty. Who appointed you royalty?
Exactly.
No, not part of that. I'm not. But look, because I grew up in such a society, so I tend to respect some who go out of their way to make positive contributions. I can't say much about the one in KZN because I mean I never lived in KZN, you know. So yeah, people must say, yeah, but the hype though.
Don't understand.
No, me, I want Mandela Mandela visit to London. I mean, you know, something like that.
Yes.
Yeah. Then how they react to him, you know.
He goes all the time, and I've never seen him on BBC. But
you see, the scales don't balance.
Yeah, no. And also, that's another question. Why do we care? When, in fact, I think for his birthday, I don't know whether this year or last year, he was there. He went to the British Royal House. It was just like any other day. In fact, he tried to be them. He was wearing like them there. But no one, I mean, gave a hoot about him being there. But he's huge here, you know. So all those things, which royalty is more important than the other? Who gives this other one this status? I mean, I don't even know how many children were eating hands because it's never a big affair. But I know when...
I don't think you're even allowed to know or supposed to know. But I mean, even us, we have, even among us, we have people who would see... King Zwelithini, for example, here, you wouldn't even know how he is supposed to be greeted by protocol because you don't give a damn about our own culture.
So, yeah.
And we expect the British to take him seriously when we don't take him seriously. Yeah.
No,
or
absolutely.
Even my...
That's a good point.
Mm. Yeah, that time we were in Heritage Month.
Yeah.
And the British royals just had to visit during Heritage Month.
Let's take a quick break, guys. When we get back and we'll get some serious news, we're going to be talking about a POS story in the Sunday Times this weekend. It's about DA leader Musi Maimane, who last week dared his opponents in the party to take him on, proposing that the DA holds an early conference if they feel ready to oust him. Join us when we're back.
Racial identity politics, a phrase that has the potential to start an argument in just about any situation. That's why we're starting it first. Let's Start an Argument is a unique and insightful podcast series about the meaning of race to us today. Presented by researcher Cecilia Koch and Doctor of Philosophy Jason Werbeloff, the series aims to spark rational argument and meaningful discussion around this controversial topic. Find Let's Start an Argument now on the Cliff Central app, cliffcentral.com, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Oh, welcome back. I've just been told by a POA that it's not just his story, it's Imasa's story as well. Sorry, guys. I'm just jealous that I didn't have anything in the paper this past weekend.
Yeah, and you're sabotaging me.
But let's get into it. This seems like a quite an important story, and it's a nice move away from what we've been talking about recently. We've always been digging at the EFF and the ANC. Let's move into the DA politics here. And a POA, just judging from the story, it seems that, is there a move to get rid of Musi Maimane coming up? Is anybody strong enough in the party to get rid of him?
That move is to say, whoever is ready, bring it on.
When is the conference supposed to sit?
2021?
Yeah, I think so.
So still 2 years.
Because it set last year, right?
It set last year, so it's 3-year term.
In your story, Azimasa, you say that Sunday Times understands that Maimane made the proposal for an early conference during his opening address at the party's federal executive meeting. And then people who attended the meeting said that it was a move to disarm his detractors who want him out as a party leader. Now, the DA always poses themselves as this unified party, and we know better than that. But can you help the people who are listening in understand what's happening within the party in terms of the factional battles?
It looks like there are some people within the DA who have no confidence in Musi. Their reasons could be attributed to a lot of things like poor performance during the past elections or losing by-elections. The DA doesn't even act like an opposition party anymore. You don't see them. They have no voice. You don't know what's happening.
EFF's a lot more vocal from the ISID.
Than the DA. So it looks like there's a discomfort in terms of the direction that the party is taking, also in terms of policy. Remember, they had a very huge fight about that diversity clause. They also had a huge fight about their stance on BEE, whether or not... their policies should be informed by the history of South Africa in terms of racial bias. So the progressives in the DA, which include a lot of black people in the DA, have managed to squeeze past whatever liberals think is the right way to go. And they've managed to win a lot of policy battles. And it looks like those who consider themselves the real, true liberals, those who think that they should have a bigger voice in the DA, they are losing the policy fight and they are being suffocated. So I think that's where the whole discomfort and, you know, power wrangling emanates from.
The story says that the latest test of Maimonia's leadership was the establishment of an informal structure called the 1959 Committee, led by DA MPs Caleb Kachalia and Michael Cardo. Apiwa, what is this 1959 committee?
So far, it's not quite clear as to its actual operations, save for what they've proposed in the document and whatnot. But people who are Musi's allies and who are opposed to it, they feel strongly opposed to it because it seems as if it's going to be a caucus that is parallel to the current caucus. Now, you must remember how this plays out or places Musi. After Helen, who had been the party leader since during Thabo Mbeki's time, she was not leading that caucus. She was at the city of Cape Town. She was the premier for two terms, actually. Yeah. That is 10 years. So you've had party leaders in parliament who were not the actual leader of the DA. Now, you have Musi Maimane, who is the leader of the DA, also in that caucus. Now, he's the leader of that caucus. And suddenly people who he's supposed to be leading are proposing a structure that looks like a parallel caucus. It then shows you the test to his leadership and the confidence some of the people in that caucus have or don't have in him. And for him, it's a serious dent. There have been fights in that caucus, but, you know, those fights have never actually ran that deep. But the you can look at it another way. Those fights at caucus prior to Musi taking over were generally resolved by vote. You would have people running for caucus leader. Now you can't have elections. You can't have an election for that position when the party leader is there. So I guess maybe, you know, people who have been used to having their views and so on tested during an internal election by removing a party leader, or rather a caucus leader, you can't do that now anymore. The most prominent position you can contest in that caucus is deputy chief whip, and you know, that's about it. So it's only natural that people who disagree with Musi as the party leader outside of parliament would continue with those disagreements within that caucus. But yeah, we have to watch and see how this one plays out. But it's quite tense times there.
Well,
the DA.
Well, here's an open question to all of you, and maybe Zingisa, you can take a first crack at it. How safe is Musi Maimane as the leader of the DA on a scale of Cyril Ramaphosa, who's battling the Zuma faction, and Julius Malema in the EFF, who's untouchable?
I feel like Tuma Mina and this one of who's, they're on the same boat. They're in serious trouble. You see, with Vusi, Vusi is my man.
Please call him Vusi.
Yeah,
Musima, respect. Chief.
Okay. Oh yeah, you know, Mr. Musima, man. Apologies. So with my man, first of all, just maybe to engage on the other questions that you're asking the colleagues, generally the DA has an identity crisis, and this emanates from a DA that was viewed as a whites-only party, although that was not official. But we know up until at least the leadership of Helen Zille, that was the perception because of how the party was running its affairs. Helen Zille came in, tried to change its direction. She was the first to have a serious push into the black constituents that was predominantly the preserve of the ANC and the other IFP and the other so-called black parties before. So that change of direction obviously was always going to make the traditional or the old guard of the DA, if I may put it that way, to be uncomfortable because the DA, as I say, was seen as this, white liberal party, which in the main is advancing the interest of the white community, such that you see that there was no real zeal to take over power. But as long as they protected that privilege as the second, as the official opposition, and which pushes for policies that protect, the privileged, they were fine with it until Helen Zille came through and tried to change the direction. Musi even took it a step further, worse, because now also within the structures of the DA, a lot of black leaders, which were never really there before, had managed to infiltrate into positions of leadership. And therefore, there was this contest. And now we are at the time in our democracy where there are real questions as to the privilege and the majority underprivileged as to what is to be done politically to change, to balance the economic scales. And the DA finds itself at the center of that. There's this old guard that is resistant to it, the old ways of the DA. And there's this new, grouping within the DA, which is its face now, is its party leader. Yeah, because Musi doesn't have really much choice because he comes from the same circumstances, historically. So he understands the historical context to how the DA must move forward. So that on its own created problems for him. And as long as the old guard of the DA, which is at the root of the party, has a problem with anyone who comes with policies that they feel are not in keeping with what they are traditionally about, they are going to have a problem. So I really hope that Moose, in whatever fights that he is facing now, which really at the bigger scheme of things are about the direction in which he's leading the party, he has a strong allies within the party dynamics, because if he doesn't, he will fall. It's only a matter of time. But I feel that the move that he pulled of calling for an L conference was a master move on his part. And I think from this point on, at least for some foreseeable future, he will survive.
On a scale of Tumamina to Julius. But why is Tumamina being used as a scale? Let's use the scale of Buteli's.
No. That's a different scale. There's no other one who can be compared.
Okay, look, I think both face quite similar challenges. With my money, you are right, Mvumvu, about this weekend, because now it not only pressures the people who are willing to challenge him, at least on an issue-to-issue basis, to say, let's have a face. It pushes them into a corner to say, do they have a candidate to go head-to-head with Musi? Because our understanding is that some of them would have wanted to challenge Musi, even in the previous conference, which is last year, but there was no one who was ready to be a candidate against Musi. Plus, even though there would have been some who may or may not have been happy, there were not tangible things that you could use. Now you can use elections. We've done bad in elections. We are always fighting. It's divided. There are issues that you can point out that you can't even control your own caucus. Therefore, we feel that you are not capable. But it then puts a lot of pressure to say, we need a candidate that's going to be popular and that is going to be ready. Who is that candidate going to be? Let's wait and see. But the previous person who had been long rumored to be the possible candidate left. So
who is that person?
It was Gwen Ngwenya.
Gwen?
Yeah, it was Gwen Ngwenya at the time.
What?
You don't remember this thing?
That would be the end of the day.
No, but if you followed Gwen Ngwenya and her stance on policy, her stance
it's similar to the
faction that is opposed or is clashing with Musi continuously on policy issues.
Yeah,
because you know, they are, unlike the ANC, sometimes you don't get set factions there whereby it seems as if it's official, and some people who are at least leaders of certain structures, they tend to rally behind these people or the other people based on an issue and issue. But she had consistently stated her case insofar as policy is concerned, and the people who had been backing her consistently on the issues, if you had been following the DA, you know who the people are, and it's the current people who are currently opposed to Maimane now. So yeah,
I don't know, maybe they can put him in a corner and, you know, get a candidate and, you know, defeat him at conference and remove him. But at the end of the day, the issues of the DA are not Musi issues.
Mm.
They are ideological issues of conflict of the people in the DA. They don't want the same thing.
Mm.
So I think whoever comes from whichever faction, they will face the same difficulties that Musi is facing, the same resistance that Musi is facing. And besides, when you talk about issues of policy, they are put to a vote. It's not a dictatorship where the guy sat in a table and decided that, okay, this is how we are proceeding now. So if these ones are continuously losing the ideology and policy direction of the DA, maybe they need to go back to the drawing board and search within their souls. Why are they being stubborn about things that are so obvious?
No. I was just going to emphasize, what Uzimezo was saying, to say it doesn't matter. The DA's main problem is not per se who leads it. It is the identity crisis that they are refusing to deal with. And until such time that the DA deals with this identity crisis, going to the elections, for instance, there was no clear messaging as to what the DA was about. Much as the EFF, you knew the issues that they were on top of, to a certain degree, this confusion of the ANC also was, you know, at some point had some coherence. The DA was all over the place. There was no messaging at all, you know, because of this ideological crisis that they are suffering. And as Uzimasa is putting it, it doesn't matter. Actually, you can even bring back Tony Leon, it will not work. As long as they haven't decided which direction they are going. And those that want to go the backward direction of protecting privilege, they are the ones who are to blame for all the fortunes of the DA, because that is bound to be rejected. You've got to find creative means to fuse even things that are different. You can fuse the old guard and the new ideas and find something that is more, you know, workable going forward for the party. You will not be, well, for me anyway, the DA and the ANC, they are not different. It's the same thing. That's the other issue. The rise of Tumamina. Tumamina within the ANC is, I would say, is more DA-ish. In terms of seriously, because in the ANC there's two main lines. They are the so-called socialists. All of them are opportunistic, of course. So the so-called socialists, which are the RET now, they're called RET, and then there are the Newtonists, which are the more liberal in a sort of way. You know, they move on.
I understand time, that. Yeah.
You know, so that rise of Tumamina was always bound to stifle the DA.
That makes sense.
I wanted to disagree on it not mattering who the leader is.
Yeah,
you must remember the changes in the DA started under, were actually prompted by the stance that Helen Zille took. But Helen Zille was a very strong leader.
Very much.
Still is. Very authoritative. And. So during that time, you know, these changes started. There were a number of people who were opposed, even to the introduction of these young black leaders. Some of them were black. People, we must remember the very publicized fight there at that caucus with some people like the current speaker of the Western Cape, Mazole Mnasela, being very much opposed to the rise of Lindiwe Mazibuko at the time. So, but you had a strong leader who, when she felt that the party is taking the right direction, whether you agree or disagree, at some point you are bound to, you know, follow her lead. So do we have a problem of Musi Maimane not having that kind of commanding and that kind of authority that Helen had as a party leader? Is it that, or is the party really, has it really reached a point where it should split?
I don't know. Did Helen not say she regrets pushing this?
She did.
Yeah, but you see what I'm saying, regretting a decision that you had supported at that time. At that time, the party was intact when she was pushing this. No one split.
Mm. Yeah, people went to Harvard, though.
Yeah, I mean,
not because they wanted to, because they fell out with her.
But then the party continued. Wait, people who after the departure of Lindiwe Mazibuko, right?
Mm.
The DA didn't. It came out best. It was their best performance.
Yeah,
they won back Western Cape with majority. They went to local government elections and swept through. Clean and came and won 3 metros after her departure. So, what I'm saying is it an issue of the character of the current leader, or is it an issue of their ideological differences crippling the party?
Well, maybe it's both.
Yeah,
I think Musi Maimane and Sol Ramaphosa need to sit down and discuss how to be more authoritative leaders. Anyway, that's all we have time for this week, guys. Thank you so much for joining me in studio, and thank you all for listening in. We'll be back the same time next week, and take care until then.